48. Steris had heard that in a fire, the rats were often the first creatures out. They could smell the smoke before the flames raged out of control. And so, on occasion, you could get an early warning of impending danger by watching the rats flee. That was what she did now, while organizing her thoughts and listening to the other senators prepare their escape routes. She watched Lady Gardra, the woman Steris was almost certain was a member of the Set. So long as Gardra remained in the city, they had time. But as the minutes stretched long, waiting for Tensoon to return with the bands, she began to doubt. Perhaps it wasn't Gardra. Perhaps one of the aides was the real agent, and they'd already fled. Perhaps the Set didn't actually have anyone in the government's inner circle. Perhaps an aide bustled into the room and stepped over to Lady Gardra, whispering in her ear.
"Ah," Gardra said, "I'll need to deal with this."
Gardra stood up, straightening her jacket.
"I'll be back shortly."
Steris knew she wouldn't. Her departure meant the city was in imminent danger. She passed Tensoon on her way out, and he drew the attention of the others. They didn't realize.
"No," Adawethwin said, striding around the table to Tensoon. "Let's see how these work. Give me the bands. Let me walk Harmony's path and save the city. I am Metalborn, a Faring of the Mind. Whatever bomb is being delivered here, I can push it away with the force of a planet. Or I can soar to Bilming and bring justice to those miscreants."
Ambassador Dahl stepped forward, his face hidden behind his mask.
"This must be a negotiation. You promised that they wouldn't be used."
"Surely you can see the need, Ambassador," Steris said. "You don't expect us to simply die if this could save us?"
"Surely you Northerners understand the meaning of the word promise," he said, looking at her through the holes in his mask. "I have the authority to negotiate for their return to us."
He leaned forward, his hands on the table, and looked straight at the governor, who leaned away, his eyes widening.
"If you use them," Dahl continued, "then I demand that they must be turned over to us next for use during the disaster of our choosing. A compromise, yeah? If you wish to avoid war, but also use these bands, that is the only solution. You get this chance, we will also get a chance. Deal?"
All eyes in the room went to Tensoon. The Chandra had validated the treaty and had become keepers of the relic. It appeared the others thought he could agree to this, and Steris supposed he was as close to an arbiter as they had.
"Harmony is preoccupied," Tensoon said, "but our time is tight, so I will agree to this if the humans do. The Basin may use the bands right now, but they revert to the Malwish."
"Do it,"
the governor said. "If it could save the city, I agree."
It was not the best situation for a negotiation, and Steris wondered how badly they were being played. Dahl must see this as the perfect opportunity to get what he wanted. Regardless, she still didn't understand why Tensoon thought this might work. Yes, the bands made a person a powerful Metalborn, but Dahl acted as if they could win wars on their own, and Tensoon had this distant expression. He met her eyes.
"What?"
she asked.
"We believe,"
he whispered,
"there is a way to transport objects large distances using a conflux of Metalborn powers. It is a thing Harmony doesn't yet understand himself. But I wonder if someone feeling the transcendent power of the bands could solve the puzzle."
Fascinating. She took notes. Tensoon opened the box to present the bands, which were in the shape of a large spearhead made of multiple bands of different kinds of metal. The governor nodded for Adawathwin to take them. She reached in and touched them, her eyes alight. She picked them up, held them for a moment, and frowned.
"How," she said, "how do I activate them?"
"It was natural for wax,"
Steris said, walking over. She hesitantly poked the bands and felt nothing. They passed them around, letting everyone try. Finally, Tensoon took them, his face scrunched up in thought. Then horror followed.
They're drained, he whispered. Something has happened. How?
Without their power, the bands of mourning were essentially just a heavy piece of history, like a statue's broken arm. The governor gave a groan of despair and leaned back in his chair, squeezing his eyes shut. Salvation had just flitted away on butterfly wings. Steris couldn't help wondering what she was missing. She'd never anticipated this. The bands could be drained? By whom? And how? Dahl stepped forward and touched them with one finger.
It's true, he muttered. What have you done? Have you been using these in secret?
What? Adawathwin said. No, we haven't seen them in years. Not since the treaty.
Dahl picked up the bands in one hand.
I will return them to my people.
Wait, Steris said, standing. That wasn't the deal.
Wasn't it? He said. You had your chance to use them. It happens they are useless to you. Now we must have our chance.
I wonder if it is piety that makes them work, yeah? Or if maybe I am right and you've been using them all along. Our scholars will know if you are trying to pass off some fake.
Steris looked at him and had the distinct impression that was a prepared speech? Yes. She prepared words to say even in common conversations. His mannerisms felt practiced, rehearsed. But surely she was wrong. He couldn't have been prepared for this. Unless he'd known the bands would be drained, unless he'd come to Ellendel looking for a crisis that would make them call on the bands so he could offer his deal, and then...
I don't know if I can allow this, the governor said. I don't know that we can forbid it, Tensun growled back. You agreed.
Ah, Dahl said. Perhaps your faceless immortals can actually be impartial? Curious. I had not believed it.
Dahl took the band's case from Tensun, who growled low and dangerous, but let it go. Steris watched with an odd feeling of disconnect. This was some kind of Malwish ploy, completely separate from the tensions at Bilming, which made it a problem for another time when they weren't being threatened with extinction. The bands were not the solution today, but there was a secret here that eventually she would like to tease out. The ambassador walked to the door, but paused there, the bands under his arm.
I did promise you passage, Governor. If this city is doomed, as you all think, then, if you wish, any of you may join me now. I will drop you at a safer location.
I'll go,
Adawathwin said immediately. She snatched her things off the table.
Maybe, the governor said. Maybe we're wrong. Mistaken somehow about this danger.
Are you a betting man, my lord governor? Reddy asked. Because I am, and I've learned to never bet against one particular man. If Dawnshot says a bomb is pointed at us, it is.
We need to evacuate the city, Steris thumped her notebooks. I have the plans here. Full citywide emergency plans for various categories of disaster. I had free time a few summers ago and was bored.
This is what you do for fun? Reddy asked.
Well, the house taxes were already done for the next year, Steris said. Here, this plan is the best for this situation. It gets the most people out of the city the fastest. The longer we have, the more we save. It's one of my most efficient creations.
She looked up to the governor.
Please, we can't leave. We have to protect the city.
Are you coming or not?
Dahl snapped from the doorway. Perhaps he wanted the honor and political bargaining chip of having saved the governor. Governor Varlance glanced from him to Steris, then toward Adawathwin, whose robes flashed as she vanished out the door. The other senators hastened to follow.
You, Steris said softly to the governor, are the captain of this city, this entire nation. You were chosen by the people to represent them. I need your authority to save as many of them as possible. There will be time for you to escape later. For now, help me save this city.
You really have a plan, the governor said.
He wiped his brow.
An evacuation plan?
Yes. We can do this, Varlence.
He nodded, a quick hesitant nod, frightened.
I want to try. Where do we start?